This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Speaking of irate...
Oh, Andrew Eger.
That's right.
He's always mad about something. White House correspondent for The Bulwark and the co-author of the Morning Shots newsletter, which you should subscribe to, and St. Louis. And he is in St. Louis right now, and he's coming to us from what looks like a really nice library.
I'm so jealous. Wherever you're coming to us from.
Thanks, guys. I got a lot of problems with you people, and you're about to hear about them. So let's not get too happy.
Well, that's
tomorrow. Let's keep the anger rolling.
That's so the Festivus is tomorrow, so we're not celebrating early.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Keep the powder dry on that.
I do like to think that at the Bulwark they will have feats of strength.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Like you said, I'm in St. Louis, so who knows what's going on back at the main office these days? But yeah, it could be.
All right. So. We're keeping an eye on Washington, D.C., and I'll just get this question out of the way because...
I'd rather it be Washington State. Let's just yes. Talk about Washington State. For now.
I'll get this question out of the way, Andrew, because Chris and I have decided to name some classic St. Louis monuments and fixtures after ourselves. So right now, we do want to do the Chris and Amy Thomas Eagleton Courthouse and... the Chris Ranji and the Stan Musial Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
In honor Excellent. Of the president renaming the Kennedy Center, is this something that will have any lasting power since the Kennedy Center was initially named by statute?
Well, obviously, a lot of that's going to come down to who takes the White House next, right? I mean, we've seen this sort of thing a lot under this administration where, they have a real fervor for renaming things, even things that technically they really shouldn't be renaming. I mean, the Department of Defense was the early obvious one. That's a department that has a name in U.S. law. You know, it's the Defense Department. They renamed it the Department of War because it turns out, you know, the law might say one thing, but if you are in charge of the people who actually put the letters up on the building and who control the websites and things like that, you can kind of just live your life as though the Department of Defense actually is the Department of War. And that's been kind of the same thing with the Kennedy Center, which has been one of Donald Trump's big time kind of hobby horses this year. Obviously, he has a lot of more important things to manage on a daily basis, but he has really taken a shine to micromanaging various parts of the Kennedy Center, which is obviously the sort of premier arts venue in D.C. that's run by the federal government. He had himself appointed chairman of the board. And now he has put his name on the building. Yes, like you mentioned, it is the law that the thing is not called the Donald J. Trump and John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts, but simply the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts. Donald Trump is not dead, so it's not really clear why he would want to have a Donald J. Trump Memorial Center. But yes, for the time being, until such time as somebody else comes up who wants to give the order to take those letters off the building, that at least is what will be printed on the side.
I will say, it's a long story, but I have a running route that I've named after this guy that we run with, you know, the Mike Smith Memorial Hilly Route. And I always have to say he's not dead. Like, he's not dead, but we call it the memorial. So that's maybe what they'll have to say now is he's not dead.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you're remembering him when you're on the route. So there's something to that. Yeah.
Right.
So, okay. Is there any indication that people, even privately, who might be aligned with the president or in the Republican Party, that they think stuff like this is kind of absurd, but they're not going to say anything about it? But is there any indication that maybe privately they're all like, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah, there are certainly people who sort of roll their eyes at this or this sort of thing, or think that this sort of thing is sort of beneath the president's notice in one way or another. But it's not as though this is, I mean, when you think about kind of the MAGA mind, the MAGA imagination, I mean, the truer thing to say is just that people like that don't really focus on stuff like this, right? I mean, like, these are sort of mini outrages that crop up in sort of certain media diets and sort of mainstream media or on, you know, left-leaning media, things like that, that are sort of evocative of you know, one pathology or another in the mind of the president, or one norm or another that the president is getting rid of. You know, it's very, very unusual for a sitting president to have things named after him. Even living presidents are not often honored in this way. You know, there's plans for Donald Trump, for instance, to try to get his face on $1 coins next year, which would be another just super breach of precedent in this way. But this is one of the things about this White House is that everything is so sort of controversial, and there are so many different things that become these sort of polarizing partisan moments, and there's so much to chew on and digest all the time, even at far more, you know, consequential matters of policy than this, that a lot of times things like this just sort of slip through. And there are some people who would argue that those are that state of play, you know, that state of play where things are just kind of slipping through because there's no real, like, attention to be able to be given to all the little ways in which the norms are being changed, that these might be some of the longer lasting ramifications of this particular presidency, not just that his name would be on the Kennedy Center or anything like that, but just this sort of pattern of presidents, you know, being a little more shameless about this sort of thing, this sort of self-promotion, this sort of self-aggrandizement, and this sort of ability and willingness to play fast and loose with even silly little rules in law, like what buildings are named.
Andrew, kind of doing a 180 here. This goes to a piece that I saw in the Bulwark by your colleague Sam Stein about a pediatric cancer bill that had been really, really big in the cancer community, that they've tried to pass this single piece of legislation for years. And it looked like they were about to do that. And Bernie Sanders got in the way. And as Sam Stein noted, that again, this is, he mentioned agonizing setbacks and private negotiations to try to get this pediatric cancer bill passed. And on Wednesday night, they thought they were going to see it passed, so much so that those in the cancer community were given a heads up, and there were even three kids who are bereaved siblings of cancer victims and a pediatric cancer survivor were in the Senate gallery, and then it failed.
Yeah. It's a horrible story. And yeah. it kind of gets at, I think, some of the ways in which Congress is unlike what you would sort of imagine Congress to be like, because you would sort of think that, like, there's this bill with these extremely compelling narratives behind it. It's a good piece of policy. Essentially, what the bill would do is, not to get too into the weeds, but just make it easier for kids with cancer to you know, try certain, like, moonshot techniques, and for companies to test various combinations of you know, drugs that haven't been you know, studied before. Make it easier for them to study them, particularly in a pediatric environment, you know, specifically to target cancer in kids. So it's a bill that has overwhelming support. People want it to pass. People over big majorities in both houses of Congress want to get it passed. But the problem is that, you know, it's not just enough to want a piece of legislation passed. You need to find kind of a window in the sort of current churn of stuff that's going on in both houses. It has to be able to, you know, get through in specific ways. There are specific techniques that you know, you would either need to attach it to a bigger piece of legislation, which is what they tried to do a year ago, and then Elon Musk kind of blew that up, or you need to what they tried to do yesterday, earlier this week, last week, I should say, is pass it via unanimous consent, where you kind of short circuit a lot of the sort of normal procedure that takes up a lot of time. You just bring it up on the floor. You're like, if nobody has a problem with this, we pass it. And what Bernie Sanders said then was that he was not happy. He basically said this bill's not good enough. He basically said a year ago we had this paired with a couple of other healthcare initiatives that are really important. I still think we should pass all of those bills. I don't think we should just take this one out and put it in. And so he was because the bill required unanimous consent, that was enough to keel haul that effort right then. But it's a big setback again for the people who have been, you know, they might also all these other advocates who might also think that these other measures might be important or useful in one way or another, but who have just been lobbying for this particular thing with, again, just this really compelling story and all this tragedy that has gone behind it. And a lot of these people who have suffered these losses and have poured sort of a lot of their emotions around that into, well, let's try to get this particular thing passed so that other people don't have to go through this. And hopefully this is not the end for this bill, but at the very least, it is a very frustrating and heartbreaking really setback, at least for these families.
Yeah. Meanwhile, for the Affordable Care Act, those subsidies are going to expire unless something changes next month. What's the likelihood that they are able to get something done? Because we've heard stories, people have gotten letters that have said their premiums are going to skyrocket. So what is the likelihood of them fixing that before it becomes a real problem?
Well, before it becomes a real problem, that's the easy question. The likelihood of them fixing it before it becomes a real problem is zero. These premium pike. I mean, what are we, like a week away from the new year? This is going into effect. These subsidies are going to expire at least for a short period of time. People are going to feel them, and the question is just, will they kind of backfill some solution? And that's a much harder question to answer because everybody sort of recognizes that this is a political hot potato. Nobody wants to be left kind of holding the bag for just this big increase in premium prices for something like 20 million Americans. But there's zero agreement, especially on the Republican side, about what stopping that or solving that would look like. Democrats have a pretty straightforward path here. They're like, we'll just put it back the way it was, right? And then, you know, the cliff will go away and there won't be any problems. Republicans have a lot of objections to that. Some of them are more reasonable than others. I mean, it is true that this program was just kind of created during the pandemic. It was originally envisioned as sort of a stopgap thing rather than just like a these subsidies will be in place forever sort of thing. So you can understand why Republicans on some level would be like, well, let's not make those permanent. Let's not just sort of roll over and have that be the way it goes. But the fiscal cliff that's there and the way that it is so tied to this specific piece of policy has them wanting to pass something, some sort of thing that would at least ease this blow. But there are a bunch of different Republican strategies for what that would look like. They're not even kind of united behind one plan now. It's so hard to look forward to the future, in particular because this may end up getting tied to the next government shutdown, a funding cliff, which is about 6 weeks away now. And again, obviously, this was a big bone of contention during the last shutdown, which was the longest in U.S. history. So trying to game it out beyond that is probably beyond my predictive powers. But I will say it's everyone recognizes that it is a major political problem, but that does not mean we're anywhere close to any kind of solution or fix.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Andrew, I just saw in the Wall Street Journal that immigrants living in the U.S. illegally could see an exit bonus that was tripled to $3,000 if they voluntarily leave the country by the end of the year. So they've tripled the exit bonus from $1,000 to $3,000 to those who self-deport. How does this work, and has it been effective?
So it's a little hard to tell, first of all. We don't have very good numbers on you know, the extent of the people taking them up on this offer, the extent of people trying to leave the country without taking them up on this offer. When this policy was first rolled out, and I don't remember exactly when it was, the original exit bonus 6 months ago or something like that, it was sort of billed as the carrot versus the stick. I mean, obviously, we've seen all of the headlines of the increased deportation enforcement and people, you know, ICE officers, you know, chasing people to their work or you know, dragging them out of cars and things like that. And that's the stick, right? That's the, we're going to catch you, we're going to deport you. And once we catch you and deport you, we're going to make sure you don't come back. This other thing was billed as if you are in the country illegally and you don't want to have to potentially go through all that, leave on your own. We will actually help you do that. You know, we'll put you on a flight. We'll get you back where you're going, and we'll give you a little bit of cash to help you get there as well. And potentially that does not close you off from coming back legally later. It was kind of the way that Kristi Noem and DHS billed this. If they are now increasing that amount, that perhaps suggests that they're not getting the sort of pickup on that plan or on that argument, on that pitch that they were hoping to get. At the same time, it's become a little complicated because there have been reports of people who are trying to kind of follow that plan, who are trying to leave the country voluntarily, who are then being kind of scooped up at the border and then processed, even like physically as they're in the act of trying to leave the country, processed as though they are being caught and deported, which you know, again, actually does foreclose the possibility for them of under the current administration's rules of potentially coming back later. So it's a bit of a mess. I mean, it has a little bit to do with the fact that, you know, quotas of deportations and quotas of detentions are a big deal inside of DHS right now. That's, you know, the White House is constantly putting a lot of pressure on them to get those numbers up. But this is one way in which you could see it becoming kind of like a two different administration policies working kind of at cross purposes with each other, making that program a little less effective.
Andrew Egger, good to talk to you as always. We want you to enjoy being at home with your family, and glad you're back in St. Louis. Thank you for talking with us again today.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
That is the White House correspondent for The Bulwark and the Morning Shots newsletter. He is a co-author of that, Andrew Egger, St. Louisan, joining us every Monday on the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.